welcome to Giants Training Camp Live. Temperature in the mid-80s under overcast skies throughout the day in East Rutherford, New Jersey. But yes, the Giants did practice outside. Hi again, everybody. And for the next half hour, we will talk everything Big Blue. We will talk about the tight end competition. We will hear from defensive coordinator Steve Spagnuolo, as well as young linebacker B.J. Goodson. My partner for this particular travel is two-time Super Bowl champion David Deal. David, great to see you.
I had a great day outside. Dog days of training camp, hot, humid, over 2.5 hours. Exactly what this team needed for Monday night.
I'll tell you somebody who's really happy. Guy who always has a smile on his face. Rookie Evan Engram. He's thrilled to be a Giant, and he's even happier to be playing in games again.
Still going to be kind of nerve-wracking and exciting. I'm really really pumped about it. It was a really cool feeling out there, getting out there and having the uniform on and being out there warming up. And it kind of really hit me in that moment. I don't think it's ever going to go away. So I'm really excited. I can't wait for Monday night. But I think it adds to my game. The eagerness to do well and get out there and run around and make plays.
Engram had one catch for 11 yards in his pro debut this past week against the Pittsburgh Steelers, and you could tell he is fired up.
Oh, without a doubt. You know, in Monday Night Football, regardless of whether it's the preseason or regular season, everybody's watching, and for a first-round draft pick with high expectations and everybody looking at this game, you know they're going to be evaluating Evan Engram. The biggest thing for him to build off of that Steelers game is confidence through repetition. The more he plays, the more confidence he'll get, but the communication as well. You know that there's going to be a lot more terminology in this game. They're going to open up the playbook more, and it's all how he's going to be able to adjust to it.
David, he's got to bring his best because there's a lot of competition in the tight end room, specifically on the back end of the depth chart. Yeah, Ingram's a first-round pick, but there's another guy named Matt Lacoste who's trying his best to make the roster as well. And he had some time to check in with Matt.
Matt, first of all, this tight ends group is a lot of variety, a lot of versatility. Where do you see your strength sticking out?
I see my strength just doing whatever the coaches need me to do. I can play both tight end positions, on the ball, off the ball, out in the slot and out wide. So whatever I'm asked to do, that's what I'm going to do. So I think that's versatility plays to my strength.
Versatility seems to be the overall scouting report on you, but is there something that you're asked to do that's maybe the biggest challenge for you?
I wouldn't say challenge, but I think it's with every tight end. You have to continue to finalize your fundamentals in the run game. Just get your fits and make sure your footwork and your hand placement are on point every day. So I think that's probably the biggest challenge for me.
You've been around this team for a few years now, but going into this training camp fully healthy, feeling good, does that make a difference on the way you approach things?
Oh, it makes a huge difference. This is the first training camp I've been in where I'm fully healthy, which is great. So I'm excited. I'm excited to keep playing. I'm excited for these last three games that we have. And for practice, it's awesome to be able to go out there and be healthy every day.
Speaking of practice, we've seen you out there on the practice field making some really acrobatic catches. What goes through your mind? How do you assess that ability of yours?
Honestly, I think it's God-given at this point. It's just when you see the ball, you go up and you try to get it at its highest point, and what happens, happens. And I've been fortunate enough where I've come down with a good majority of them.
You're healthy. You're familiar with the system. Is this the year Matt Lacoste makes his mark?
I sure do hope so, but we have a long way to go in training camp still, and we have three more games where I still need to prove myself. But I'm excited. I'm excited.
Lacoste is in his third training camp with the Giants. He's been injured throughout most of his time here, but David, you have a special connection to him. Tell us about that and why you think he can make the 53.
I always have a pleasure when I'm talking about a fellow Illini, University of Illinois grad. So I've known Matt since he was a freshman at Illinois, so to see the way that he's developed is phenomenal, but it is a credit to him and the way that he's worked. So for him to be able to now to be in this competition, it's all about him showing up now in games. He's got to make those critical plays and make shorthanded catches for him to make this football team. Not to mention, we know Red Ellison's going to be here. We know Evan Ingram's going to be here. So he's got the competition between him, Ty, and Adams. So it's also going to come down to his blocking at the edge of being able to seal those defensive ends or those Sam linebackers to get those outside zone crack pitches that the Giants struggled with last year in the run game.
And you know, David, it was Lacoste's versatility at Illinois that allowed him to get a look at the pro level.
Exactly. He could play on the ball, off of the ball, and he said it in this conference. And when he was interviewing, He is a selfless player. He will do anything that he can to help a football team win games.
Yeah, very smart player as well. So we'll see how the rest of that tight end battle shakes out. You got Ingram, you got Ellison, you got Adams, you got Ty, a lot of people in there vying for some spots. We will flip the page and go to defense. When we come back, it's defensive coordinator Steve Spagnuolo in the hot seat. So stick around.
The newest Hess Toy Truck will be back and better than ever this holiday season. Sign up for alerts at HessToyTruck.com so you don't miss out.
Welcome back to Giants Training Camp Live as the Giants prepare for preseason game number 2, Monday Night Football, against the Cleveland Browns out in Ohio. Defensive coordinator Steve Spagnuolo has a lot of talent at his disposal. He's busy scheming up a whole bunch of things, but he still took a moment to sit down, well, not sit, but check in with our own David Deal.
Coach, here we are in training camp, and everybody talks about expectations from last season to this season, yeah. But I know you always harp on every practice is an opportunity to get better. What is this defense doing right now, day in and day out, that gives you that excitement for the season?
Well, I'll tell you what, they come to work every day ready to work. That's the beginning part. You know, we're always getting those meetings in the morning, and I'm always trying to eyeball, you know, did they come ready today? Are they tired? You know, and for the most part, throughout this training camp, I think the guys have come with the focus to get better. We don't talk about goals and whatnot. We did earlier, but I think we all know in the back of our minds what we want to be. We certainly want to be better than we were last year, because if you're not better, you're going to get worse. You never stay the same. We know that old saying. And I love the way they interact together, Dave, more than anything.
Having said that, we all know with the changes in the CBA and practice, getting younger players up to development. Talk about the differences from when you became into the NFL as a coach till now, how much difficult it is for you to do that.
Huge difference. I'll tell you the other thing we had in 99 when I first got in, I'm sure you remember, NFL Europe.
Yes.
And if you had put guys in NFL Europe, they could come to you, you might have 7, 8, 9 extra bodies, and I thought that was great for development. It's a little bit harder to develop guys young. They don't just come as quick. You just don't have the time in the spring. You lose 4 weeks there. And it is, this game will always be about the fundamentals. And if you don't have time to work the fundamentals, you can't get good as quick. So it still goes back to that. We'll never venture away from it. We still preach it now, even with an experienced defensive group, and I think the guys embrace that.
This being the second preseason game, what are your goals and expectations, and who are the players that you're looking to stand out in this game?
Yeah, I mean, certainly want them all to stand out, but the big thing is the mindset of the first group that goes out there. I mean, you know, you've played the first preseason game, you're not going to be out there much, but look at this one, when you go out there and you're going to be out there for a quarter or a quarter and a half, I mean, it has to look right. You can't come away from this game saying, we got issues. You know, we couldn't stop this guy. We couldn't do that. So that's the first focus. And then the rest of the guys that go in after that, they're fighting for jobs. When we get to the second game, what we typically do as coaches, or what I do is add a little more, put some checks in there. We've got to find out who can think.
And that was my next question. Yeah. I was following up. I'm used to being on the other side of the ball where we're getting Sam, Mike, blitzes, adding it on. Is this where we're going to start seeing a little bit more of the blitz packages stand out?
Yeah, we'll expand it a little bit. We got to work it. We got to get it out there and get ready for Dallas. And we have to find out if guys can think on their feet. So there's some checks in there that maybe we normally wouldn't have in a preseason game. But, you know, we got some new linebackers in there and some other guys receiving that information that are new. So we'll find out a little bit more about our guys.
One of the puzzles that Spagnuolo has to figure out is about what he's going to do with his linebackers. Now, Keaton Robinson went on concussion protocol today for the second time in camp. He is a big part of what the Giants want to do in their sub-package, David.
No question, because of Keaton Robinson being out, who's that next linebacker that's going to be able to cover tight ends and running backs out of the backfield? So this is a big concern for the New York Giants, having him sit out after going through the concussion protocol.
You know, one of the ways they could go, a lot of people talk about Landon Collins being able to move down in the box, but then that creates an issue with safety.
Exactly, and we know that his strength is being on that back end, because that way him, Darian Thompson, Eli Apple, that's the flexibility they need, not at him at the linebacker level.
Well, one of the guys who'd like to make the linebacker depth chart is rookie Kelvin Munson out of San Diego State. This is a guy who certainly has made his mark on specials, but the thing they like about him, he hits.
Well, you know that he hits and he's an athlete. He was actually drafted out of high school to play for the Cardinals in baseball, but his love for football is what stuck to him. He reminds me a lot of Chase Blackburn. Comes in, making plays on special teams, is knowledgeable, communicates on the defensive side of the ball. And what do you know? Chase Blackburn goes on to win two Super Bowls and has two key interceptions for us in the playoffs in 2011. So for him, it's that communication. You heard Coach Spagnuolo say there's going to be a lot more thrown at you this game, and it's going to be how is he going to be able to adjust? Is he going to be able to use what experience he's had in practice to be able to get it out to everybody? Because at that linebacker position, if you don't get it right, nobody else on the defensive side of the ball will.
Another guy who's got to get it right is B.J. Goodson. Now in his second pro season, they're thinking he's going to be the starting middle linebacker. He had a chance to speak with our own Madeline Burke.
Earlier in training camp, we talked about how Coach McAdoo praised you for being kind of a natural-born leader, fitting into this middle linebacker role. How have you seen the first few weeks of camp and the first preseason game reflect that?
Oh, man, you know, as you guys saw, you know, the first defense, you know, we went out there and got a lot of three and outs. And so, you know, that was kind of a reflection of, you know, the work that we put in this training camp.
You're more of a run-stopping linebacker, but you got in there and got a sack, too, in that game. How good did it feel to hit the quarterback?
And you know, it felt great. But, you know, like I always say, you know, you can never let – you know, the good is not always as good as, you know, we think it is, and the bad is not always as bad as we think it is. So, you know, it's always on to the next play. So, but it did feel great.
Did you get a lot of credit from your fellow linebackers on that one?
No, I did. I did. They were saying it was a nice swim move, but.
Now, talk about working with AP a little bit more. It's been a few weeks in training camp. What has he taught you so far this preseason?
Oh, man, so much as far as, you know, pre-snap recognition, just reading a lot of keys, man, a lot of keys that, you know, I may have not, you know, caught on to, you know, just kind of slowing the game up for me. So, you know, he's helped slow the game up for me a lot.
Snacks called these the dog days of training camp right now, but you got another preseason game coming up on the docket. What are you looking to see from yourself and from this defense in that game?
Oh, man, you know, I have no expectations, you know, just to go out there and put our best foot forward and show the world, you know, what we could do.
Goodson's had a good camp so far. Now, David, as an offensive lineman, what are the things that you worried about when there was a good middle linebacker on the other side of the field, and what does he have to do to get there?
Well, he's learning from Antonio Pierce how to be that player. There would be times in practice, and you would see him in games, Antonio Pierce would be calling out the play that you would be running on the offensive side of the ball based upon his preparation and his film study. And that's what B.J. Goodson has to do. He has got to lock himself in the room and be a student of the game so that he can let his eyes see it first and make sure that he communicates to everybody else.
Well, one of the good things that Goodson has at his disposal is a veteran next to him in Jonathan Casillas. And we will check in on him when we return after this on MSG.
Still keep my arm free, but don't let him kick me out and create space inside. So with several ways he could have blocked me, and the low block ended up not being a good way to block me because I defended it well.
The newest Hess Toy Truck will be back and better than ever this holiday season. Sign up for alerts at HessToyTruck.com so you don't miss out.
Welcome back to Giants Training Camp Live. The forecast is for dry skies for Saturday's practice. Veteran linebacker Jonathan Casillas has built up quite a repertoire of moves over the course of the years, and he shares some of the insight to his success right now.
What's up, Giants fans? Brandon London back for another edition of My Best Move. Now, if you've ever wondered how to come up big and make a play on fourth and goal, this is the My Best Move for you because we have Jonathan Casillas, starting linebacker. Sir, how you doing today, first and foremost?
Fantastic, man. Thanks for having me.
Man, like the last year, that play, fourth and goal with the Baltimore Ravens, you stepped up.
Giants string it out. West gets stopped. Jonathan Casillas knocked them out of bounds with the two.
Avoided a blocker. Made the play, got the running back out of bounds. You got to take us through it, man.
The play, when the play started, my eyes are directly on the man in front of me, which is the tight end. And he blocked down right away. And then the fullback came basically directly at me on a very wide pass. So I had to kind of turn my angle, and then he delivered a cut block, and I had to play it. He's a good fullback. He tried to take a shot at my outside leg. I tried to keep my outside leg free, and then I saw the running back, and I made a great play on him outside going out of bounds and tried to get my head across the bow. And, you know, it was big play, tackle for loss, and definitely changed the momentum of the game. It was a great play.
Now, the reason we brought this ball out to signify the cut block is that's actually a drill you all do during the week.
Yep, and you could go ahead and roll it out to me.
So,
So we'll roll it out, but you just got to keep your legs free. Keep the person's shoulders and his helmet. You want to keep your legs free and keep your legs free and keep it moving like that. So, and it's a drill that we do, and it ended up working out very well in the game.
From the drill to the field, gotta love it. Now, if he was to try and go high, if he was trying to block you high, now what's your mindset then?
Well, I still gotta keep my outside leverage free because I am the outermost guy, the defense. You had interior guys flowing, as you can see the tape again. Herzlick was flowing, and the whole defense inside of me. So I had to stay outside. So if you were the guy coming at me, I would try to still do the same thing. Yeah. But of course, I'm upright and try to keep my outside arm free.
Always.
And it would probably be more of a reach block. You know what I mean? Like that.
He'd
try to seal me out.
To get that outside.
Or he would try to kick me out. But then I would have to anchor down and then leverage the block this way. Still keep my arm free, but don't let him kick me out and create space inside. So it was several ways he could have blocked me. And the low block ended up not being a good way to block me because I defended it well.
And I was gonna ask you about that because, like you said, you boxed it, you anchored it down, and you said that you didn't allow him to push
to push me outside,
to open that up for the running back to cut up.
Yep, exactly.
So
you're
trying to minimize as much cut up space as you can.
And like I said, that fullback could have blocked me certain different ways. I think his mindset was get him on the ground and then outrun the defense. Okay. But I didn't go on the ground, and I leveraged him back to our defense, and he ended up trying to keep it outside. But I was still up, and they was expecting me to be on the ground.
All right, let's say that there was Hurts shot in and took the fullback on. Now you're one-on-one with the running back. Here's that tall sweep out here.
Right, right.
Hurts took the fullback on.
I would still try to leverage him back to my defense.
Back inside.
One-on-one tackles aren't that easy to make, believe it or not.
They get
These
paid,
backs
too.
Are very skilled.
Yeah.
And I would try to, if he would make a cut, go out that way. I would try to just cut him off in any type of way so he can make that drastic cut. Because the worst thing to do is he goes outside of me, and it's one person, and it's 10 people inside of me, and he's just out there by himself running for a touchdown.
So is there any time that you're thinking in your head, if that fullback's coming, that he's actually going out for a pass?
Yeah, it all depends, and that's what the tough situation is. But the way he angled at me, at first I thought it was pass, and then he dove at my legs, and I also saw the toss. I saw the toss happen, but like usually, it's called a power pass, which is the fullback takes an angle and he comes at you and he might even bluff like he's blocking you. So you don't want to swim him or try to beat him. You want to collision him. So you come at me. I'm going to try to hit you as hard as I can because it may be a regular pass block or it may be a bluff pass block. And he releases and he's by himself in the flat catching a touchdown pass.
Hey, Jonathan, hey, great play. Can't wait to see you do more this year. And thanks for helping us figure out your best move.
Thank you for having me, bro.
That's fun stuff from Jonathan Casillas, now entering his eighth NFL season. So just how good can the Giants be? We will hear from the Super Bowl champion and get his thoughts when we return here on MSG.
The newest Hess Toy Truck will be back and better than ever this holiday season. Sign up for alerts at HessToyTruck.com so you don't miss out.
Welcome back to Giants Training Camp Live. We are less than 1 month away from the regular season opener against the Dallas Cowboys. So as we're getting through training camp, a lot of people want to know, just how good can the Giants be? Jason Pierre-Paul has already won a Super Bowl, so we figured might as well ask him.
You can't really tell until you play that not even first game, man. You know, you got to go through the struggle, man, together. You know, you can't really tell. Right now, the chemistry is great on the team. Everybody's bonding, communicate with each other, you know, special teams, offense, defense. And we all just like one. I mean, the chemistry is there. So you can't really tell until you get out there and, you know, you can have all that, but you got to be a dog on the field.
This team has a tremendous mix of veterans and young guys on it. David, there are five players on this 90-man roster right now who have 10 years or more of NFL experience. It's a great mix and a great blend.
It really is. And what he's talking about, what we call in football, the ABCs. Number one, are you accountable to one another? Two, do you believe in one another? And three is confidence. If you have those two factors, your entire team, not only individually, can play free because you're not trying to overcompensate for anybody.
How much of that camaraderie and chemistry is built through training camp, and how much of it comes through the trials and tribulations of the season?
It's built through training camp. It's built during the offseason when you're working out, running, and conditioning together. But you're right. Everybody knows in prosperity things are great, but when adversity hits, you see the true test of a character and a team.
And we've heard a lot today about Eli Manning, who gets with his receivers, gets with all his offensive linemen. He's so particular with his detail, and it's that teaching that also helps build chemistry.
It does, because now you know everybody's on the same page. They know what to expect, what's assumed of them, and then you can communicate freely.
All right, and a quick thumbnail, David, what are you expecting from the Giants in Cleveland?
Well, number one, I want to watch Ereck Flowers. He's going to be going up against the number one overall pick, Myles Garrett, who is a power pass rusher. We want to see that tight end position to battle. And I love the way that Orleans Darkwell ran the football the other day. I want to see that continue.
Monday Night Football, the Giants and the Cleveland Browns in preseason game number two. That means time's running out before they got to cut it down to 53. Don't forget, Bob Papa, Carl Banks, and Howard Cross will be on WFAN 660 and 101.9 FM to bring you all the action on the radio dial. And we will be back with Giants Training Camp Live next Wednesday at 6 p.m. Yeah, we got a few days off, but stick around your old Big Blue information on Giants.com. See you then.